Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Casino. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome in. Another scorcher in Buffalo today, and lots to talk about as we, well, we work our way through this non-arbitration hearing process. As per usual, it started with 15 players were going to go. It's down to 12, and it may be down to 2 by the time
the actual... It's down to 11, I think, right now. Is
it, oh, was there another one today?
Well, there was Nick Robertson, Braden Schneider.
What did Nick get?
Nick Robertson got 2 years at 3.25 from the Pittsburgh Penguins.
So still room
Braden
for his
Braden Schneider
brother.
Got a one-year deal at $5.5 million. Peyton Krebs, and then... Xavier Bourgo with Ottawa, he got a one-year deal, $850.
He was the trendsetter to all of it.
He was the trendsetter. July 9th was the deal. I was going to ask you off the top a trivia type this or that. Which one is more than the other? The amount of players that are going to go to arbitration or the amount of players that were drafted in 2026 that have signed their entry-level deal? Because now that's in the season
of... It's a confusing question.
I know, but also it's not
and
like
kind
right
of
now.
Irrelevant because the arbitration is the here and the now, and the draft is like whenever. Like
there's
these
already seven players, but there's a bunch of second-rounders that have signed their entry-level deal right now.
Well,
it's a little like, okay.
It's taking care of business, and that's what the month of July typically is for, obviously, in the NHL, even with a maybe that's a direct fallout from the low wow factor of free agency this year.
Yes,
it's like, you know what?
Our young kids.
We're going to take care of our own and then move forward. And the Sabres have been doing that and in many different ways, including yesterday. And this is crazy. To think that, like, for me, just because, and like you, like many, we've revered John Davidson for a long time as just this wonderful human and person in the game and great commentator and evaluator and positive energy and trusted advisor and so much that on the heels of the legendary playing career with the Rangers, went all the way to the Stanley Cup Final in 79 before losing to Montreal.
Yep.
John Davidson and Jarmo Kekäläinen have reunited. Davidson brought in yesterday as a senior advisor here for the Sabres. The two had previously worked, of course, together with the Blues and with the Blue Jackets. And now JD is a member of the Sabres family.
Yeah, so I have loved JD forever. But when I first knew of John Davidson and got to know him, it was about a broadcaster. He was broadcasting the games on MSG for the New York Rangers.
You must have known of him on Hockey Night in Canada before
Hockey Night in Canada a little bit and everything else, ESPN and Fox and whatever he did, right? But I remember one time post-game, I got interviewed by John Davidson in the old American Express studio at MSG. Like, I was their guest, right? And, man, like, I was so pumped to be, like, interviewed by John Davidson. He was so good at the job. But then you go back and look at his career, right? Like, he started in St. Louis, and then a year and a half in, like, then after that second year, he got traded to the Rangers. He was with Eddie Jockman, but then they put Jockman on waivers, end up in Detroit, and then JD took over. Just a great career. Now, I can still remember when he left the broadcasting booth with Sam Rosen in the 2005-2006 season, the one after the lockout of 2004-05, and then he became the president of the St. Louis Blues. I remember with the Sabres, we went to St. Louis the next year, 2006-07, and I saw JD walking in. And me, I'm such an idiot sometimes, right? Like, I remember JD on TV looking all good. The hair was good. All of a sudden, his hair was white. I'm like, man, being a president really ages somebody. No, I just realized maybe not being on TV changes things a little bit on how you take care of, you know, a little color, a little just for men there, here and there. But I was such an idiot that I was like, man, being a president of a team ages somebody. But
well,
what a
quality,
fantastic guy.
Quality individual. And no matter where the conversations go with Jarmo and the hockey department that involve JD, you can imagine that, you know, this is just a truly important sounding board and advisor to have in the organization.
Oh, great advisor. Great piece to the organization. Yeah. I already texted him last night. He's excited for it.
Broadcasting legend.
Broadcasting legend. But also, this is a great little John Davidson, Buffalo Sabres history. 1978 playoffs.
Yeah, lost to us in a preliminary best of three.
So he took a shot to the face. went down. Like, and then the announcer said that John Davidson had been removed from the game because he was suffering from double vision. Foreigner was at the game and saw it all happen, and the song Double Vision came from that line when they said,
come on.
It's on Wikipedia. I did a little search yesterday.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to believe it's
Wikipedia
true.
Wikipedia has been lobbying for money for a long time, so.
I just want to believe that the song Double Vision by Foreigner is because of John Davidson and the Buffalo Sabres history in 1978.
Well, we'll look forward to John gracing our studios at some point in the future, because it'll be a real treat to have him in here on Sabres Live. Buffalo had a minor transaction yesterday as well, with Zach Funk coming into the fold from the Capitals, who now are our most common trade partner of the offseason.
Yes.
Forward Tyler Kopp goes the other way to the Capitals. Now, Funk had a massive final season in junior where he scored 67 times a couple of years ago. He's now entering his third year as a pro. And I will say this, I think it's going to be very challenging for Funk to stay, perhaps, with Rochester based on the depth that they now have. It's funny how it's gone here in the last 3 weeks, but the Amerks have so many veteran forwards now that it's going to be a real challenge. But there were some tweeners on the roster last year, the Costantinis and the Savages of the world. And, you know, there were some late arrivers to the Amerks last season. You know, the door is there for Zach Funk to kick it open and see if he can, you know, establish himself as a full-time AHLer after being, you know, in the ECHL and American League over the past two.
So it's interesting, because when you are a franchise in the AHL, you go through cycles, depending on your GM, depending on your hockey operation department. We remember when Jason Botterill was here in Buffalo as the GM, Chris Taylor was coaching in Rochester, a very older team. There was a lot of guys making one-way money in Rochester, and it was an older team. And then Kevin Adams came along, and then it became a switch to the younger prospects beginning that opportunity with Seth Appert as a coach to develop them, and now Michael Leone. And now Yarmo is in charge, and with Stacey Rose, they're looking at their you know AHL affiliate, and they said, okay, we need veteran leadership. We need guys that are going to be able to establish. And look, that's what Yarmo was doing with Columbus when they had Cleveland, Lake Erie Monsters back in the days. Like, there was veteran leaderships in those teams. And that's what maybe their comfort level is with what they're trying to do in Rochester.
We'll talk a lot more Amerks tomorrow with Don Stevens, Griffin Della Penna, as we, you know, kind of see the torch get passed from a broadcasting standpoint. And Don had yet another big honor over the weekend, so we'll revisit that. Mm-hmm. But the Sabres lineup, as it stands here on July the 14th. This is interesting and worthy of debate, and tip of the cap to producer Sam for being able to wait until mid-July before we went into a Lines and Pairs edition of Sabres Live. Sometimes it comes earlier, folks, but we've avoided
making the playoffs help, because usually mid-June shows are mid-July now, so that's why it's
okay. So we've moved the needle on where the team is at, but they want to move it even further. How do they do it, Marty? Show us your forwards as of today.
So my forwards as of today, I'm going to go with the top line as it ended in Game 7 with the Montreal Canadiens. Zach Benson on the left with Josh Norris in the middle, and Tage Thompson on the right. Look, I mean, Tage Thompson may play a lot of center this year, but that's the way I would start it. Now, I'm trying to sprinkle some of the youth a little bit in the middle six, right? So I'm going to put Oslin on the left with McLeod in the middle and Doan. And maybe the second and third line could be interchangeable. It's just your middle six. Zucker with Konsta Helenius and Jack Quinn right there, and then Krebs, Carrick, and Malenstein. That's, for me, the top line and the fourth line is cemented in. That's the way I look at it. Now, I know I don't have Yuri Kulik on this list. My note to producer Sam was Yuri Kulik is a top nine player for me. So it could be in the place of Oslin on the left with McLeod and Doan. Oslin takes Helenius' spot. Helenius maybe starts in Rochester, depending on the numbers game, if nobody's injured. There's a lot of movement that could happen there. Look, Kulik was hurt all year last year. Well, hurt. Blood clot. Did not play. So I'm not putting him in my projected group right now, because maybe it's going to take a little time for him to assert himself into this group at the start of the year.
You lack creativity as it stands here on July 14th. That is the prevailing commentary from this side of the desk.
Simplicity is always good, I think.
Yeah, well, trust me, I was not that much more creative. But we started the same way with my forwards based on how last year ended. Now,
okay.
Here's the catch. Do you actually believe that these are the players that are going to be here? Because we're being asked to do this exercise as of who is on the team
now. In 10 days, there could be some movement.
There could, but do you believe that the group that you just showed is what will be here when it starts? See, I don't.
No. I agree with you. So I'm starting
with Benson Norris-Thompson.
Which I think they'll be here.
I don't necessarily believe that. Doan McLeod Quinn, I don't necessarily believe that either, but I needed Doan up there, and that obviously has a major impact on Jason Zucker. And where my creativity knew no bounds, it was Austlin with Kulig and Hellenius. I would love to see, even if for a little bit, or all four, which they won't play all four preseason games. Yuri might, but you know, obviously you wouldn't expect all of them to play. But I think it's worth a shot to put the three kids together, and then that would leave Zucker with Krebs and Malenstein. And if you're sitting there wondering about Sam Carrick, who obviously got talked about a lot last year upon his arrival from the Rangers, the logic, if you want to use that word, he makes almost no money. So when you look at the group, it funnels down, and I'm not saying Sam Carrick won't find a place on this team, but obviously Peyton Krebs makes four times as much, and he's going to be the fourth line center.
And Beck Malenstein isn't moving, and if you have to find
and one if you have to put Jason Zucker on the fourth line, then Sam Carrick's...
You have 10 players for your top nine. That's why, like, but if I would have put, like, if I would have thought... For me, saying, okay, instead of putting Yuri Kulik on the side, or maybe Konsta Hellenius on the side in my top nine, and go Krebs, Carrick, and Malenstein cemented fourth line, I think having... Then I debated, do I want Quinn on my fourth line because he kind of doesn't fit any mold? And then I was like, no, maybe Zucker is a fourth liner. You went that route, and I think that's...
Well, I don't think he'll be happy about it, but, you know...
No, but if fourth liner and second power play unit or whatever, or first power play unit maybe even, like you're... You could have... I don't know that there is a perfect science to how the lines are going to be. No. And that's what the coaching staff and Lindy Ruff may look at. Okay, in 2 weeks, it may be something else. You know, player movement could change that as well.
Quickly through the D, which are similar for the two of us.
Yeah, so the D was very consistent last year, and Dahlin and Samuelson were the leaders on the back end. So I'm going Dahlin, Samuelson. I'm going Owen Power and Louis Crevier on the second pair, and then Zellweger and Timmins. The only reason why I have Crevier and Zellweger where I have them is because of the right shot, left shot. So you're getting, you know, a left shot with Power with a right shot with Crevier, a left shot with Zellweger with a right shot with Timmins, and it makes sense. Now, we all know the Sabres were very comfortable last year throwing the lefty-righty out the window and saying, we're going to play lefty, 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 righty, righty together. Like, we don't care. Do I think Zellweger is probably more of a top four guy? Yes. But if you want to give yourself depth and use Zellweger with Timmins in a specific role because of the lefty, righty, that's the way that I have my defenseman right now. But again, at the start of the season, it could change.
Yeah, mine are the identical in layout right now. The reasoning might be a little different. I did not really factor in left-right at all. It was, for me, the appealing part about the Crevier acquisition was kind of imagining all those years ago, very, very, very briefly in Sabres history, when we had Tyler Myers and Braden McNabb together, which now seems like for four shifts,
tall
and it might have
guys.
Been a few games. But I like the idea of Power and Crevier together in that setting. But what's also worth noting is when, you know, you look at the experience of Crevier and Zellweger and even Timmins, they're all under 200 games played in their career. So for me, this is very much a wild card. Three confirmed, three unconfirmed as for where they're going to find themselves in this lineup. So last year, Crevier played just over 17 minutes. Zellweger with the Ducks played just under 17 minutes. And Connor Timmins had more experience at over 18 minutes in his games with the Sabres, but less than half a season total based on injury.
Crevier had 7 goals. Zellweger had 7 goals. Crevier had 25 points. Zellweger had 22 points. It's very similar. Now, are you trying to replace Bo Byram's 40-plus points of last year, or you're trying to maybe add balance to your group, right?
Yep, yep.
And I think that putting it the way you have it, the way I have it, Crevier and Zellweger in their position, Crevier with power, Zellweger with Timmins, adds balance, in my opinion. Now, you could easily see power play the right side with Zellweger playing the left side, mm-hmm. and Crevier and Timmins having to mix and match a little bit. That's fine, too. Now, as I recall last year, whenever we did this type of exercise and looked at our defense pairing, most of us had Dahlin with Byram and Power with Kesselring in your top four. And then Samuelsson was like in the third pair with Timmins. Like, it was like, okay, it definitely will start one way, but will evolve throughout the year. Mm-hmm. Right now, that's the way we think it's going to start. But we could be very, very wrong with whatever happens in training camp. Injuries, hopefully there's none. And maybe, you know, some chemistry that needs to be developed between those players.
Okay, on to the always appealing D&D.
Dazzled and
disturbed.
Congratulations, Will Carrier. One of my all-time favorite Sabres. And now, two-time Stanley Cup champion, the man knows how to celebrate.
He knows how to celebrate, and I think it's maybe a little cliche for anybody from Quebec to go back home and put the poutine in the Stanley Cup. What I love most about what Will Carey is doing with the poutine, he doesn't want to soil the Stanley Cup. He doesn't want to get dirty. He put the paper right underneath so the sauce and the fries and the cheese is not going to just stain the Stanley Cup. It's going to keep it clean. But some very, very good work done here. Look at the style, the art form of putting the sauce over the poutine.
The gravy.
The gravy. Yeah, it's sauce gravy.
Is it?
Yeah, we call it sauce, but
really,
well, it is gravy. But yeah, so
I had not heard you say it as sauce before. That's funny.
Yeah, it's cheese, fries, and sauce,
curds,
and ketchup.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you had to? Do you really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got to do ketchup on my poutine all the time. That's
wow.
the way it works. You know what though?
Wow.
Try this. You know what? You cut up little hot dog in your poutine as well. It is so good.
Of course it is. But so are you seven? Are you seven?
Spaghetti sauce, like the meaty spaghetti sauce on your poutine. Uh-huh. They call it an Italian poutine with the spaghetti sauce over the top. Instead of the brown sauce, the brown gravy, mm-hmm. you put spaghetti sauce. It's really good too.
Well, I'm all for experimenting with different kinds of poutine. I mean, we've seen that grown exponentially with specialty poutine places over the last
pulled
50,
pork on the poutine. That's good too.
Everything goes. What else dazzled from the last 24 hours?
Well, the home run derby last night for MLB All-Star, to me, was fantastic. It was a new kind of process. You got 20 swings in the first round, 15 and 15. It was great. And Jordan Walker of the St. Louis Cardinals had to just get on the run at the very end to beat Schwarber, right? That was in the finals. He was getting booed by the Philly fan. And then they were cheering every time he was missing the ball and it wasn't a home run. It was theater. It was great. And I loved it. And Walker needed two home runs on his last swing. You couldn't end on a last swing. So as long as you keep homering the ball, you keep going. So he ended up
six in a row.
Yeah, that was that was pretty good. So he went he home run on the his fifth last swing, 4-3-2-1, and then an extra swing to win the championship.
So all in all, did you watch from start to finish?
And the
new format then for you was
fantastic.
Okay,
it wasn't rushed.
Okay.
I felt like it wasn't rushed. Like we got to get so many swings in.
So there was
seconds,
no clock involved?
No clock, just 20 swings.
Yeah.
And you could let it go by, and then the first, I don't remember who was the first one that went, but got booed a couple of times for taking a few pitches. Contreras, yes, producer Sam. So he got booed for taking a few pitches. They're like, come on, hit the ball. The only problem I had, and this is maybe because now I understand more of the technical side of it, the production side of it.
Yes.
I didn't think it was well produced from the Netflix side of things.
Oh, it was Netflix?
Yeah, it was Netflix. Uh-huh. The All-Star Game is also on Netflix tonight, by the way.
I guess I just blew my cover that I never turned the TV on
yesterday. Exactly. You did not have it on. Or maybe you were searching through your TV guide.
Definitely wouldn't do that. No.
But I just felt
if I have to search, I'm not that interested in the product.
Like, the product was really good, and the competition, the Home Run Derby, was great. I just felt like at times they zoomed in on the wrong thing, or they had different angles. It didn't work, but at least it was really exciting. The matchups were exciting.
Okay, time for our tease. Our guest in studio coming up found himself in blue and gold in early 2014.
Yes.
Incredible story. Quite an emotional moment in Sabres history as one legend went out the door and another one was born. Ryan Vins will be in studio with us coming up here on Sabres Live today. And obviously, when we're talking about, you know, the organization and the building of it, the draft is such a critical piece. Embedded debuted last night at 7 p.m., looking back at this year's draft.
Yeah, and obviously, the draft being in Buffalo was really cool, but the Sabres had their situation room, their hockey operation set at the Bill Stadium, using their facility. But, you know, just trying to find out a little bit more about the process and looking at picking the players, the behind the scenes when that player gets drafted and the family. This year was couches on the floor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a really cool look inside of Jarmo Kekalainen's team and Dax and Rudolph and everything else.
Indeed. Sabres Embedded is out now on YouTube.
He wants us just to get the list right and get the best player.
Of all those 4D, is any of those D you see running a power play in the NHL?
Rudolph.
He's probably the best puck mover in the draft. He's a good player. Really good player.
These guys are, they're all close.
You can put it in a blender and come up with a different list every day.
You want to go with the upside, you probably take Rudolph.
Give us the context on Rudolph's role in the dynamic at Prince Albert.
And he was their number one defenseman, played all situations, played against the best team, best line every night.
I think Rudolph is the one that for me is most impressive, and I think it's because of hockey sense on both sides of the puck. Size, I just can't poke many holes in this guy.
His ability to make plays on that first step coming down the wall, through the seams, like shot passes the back door that you see every night in the NHL, he executes those every time he steps down the wall. The way he dominated games in the playoffs was special.
I would be thrilled if we got this guy.
Sky high upside with Rudolph.
Jarmo's 100 years of scouting experience would tell us, take the guy with the biggest upside.
Get back with more of Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
11 days away, July 25th, is the Sabres here at KeyBank Center hosting a pet adoption event. In partnership with the Bills, you can meet adoptable and probably adorable as well. Cats and dogs from local shelters and rescue organizations. Plus, bring unopened cat or dog food to donate, and you'll receive 30% off at the Sabres store. For more information, visit sabres.com/appointment. It was more than a dozen years ago where this local netminder had his star born.
Joe Bautista comes down, stands right in front of my cubicle with a smile on his face and says, "Got your equipment?" I was just like, "Yeah." And he goes, Just want to let you know you need to be ready. We might need you tonight." And starting to panic a little bit, like, wait a second, what did he just say? I had to meet up in this room here to sign a one-day contract. I went out, my equipment was gone. I thought someone stole it. Not used to that. You know, I'm used to carrying my own stuff.
Ryan Vins stepped in at a moment's notice, and he is still with us in studio today. He's the assistant GM at Harbor Center, but back in 2014, he found himself filling the departing Ryan Miller's shoes on a game night here in Buffalo. How are you, Vincey?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Awesome. Where is that one-day contract? Is it framed in your office?
It's in my office at home, actually. I have a folder. One of the stats guys for the NHL had remade the roster sheet and everything for me, and in the notes at the bottom has Ryan Vins, first NHL game and everything that he gave me. So I have a kind of a folder of all the important stuff, and then I have the framed jersey on the wall.
Ryan got traded to St. Louis, Steve Ott, and you found yourself backing up Jonas Enroth on a night where the Sharks were in. Did you even know at that point? Like, were you even thinking about the opponent at any point in time?
Not really, no.
No.
I mean, once I was on the bench, I was, you know.
When
you
have, I could play.
You have Joe Thornton out there, you know. You start thinking about that? Yeah.
But. Like, what does he do when he has the puck on the half wall on the power play if I have to get in? But funny enough, because I was at that game, I had retired that year. I'm like, I'm going to go to the game tonight. And then as I was coming in, like, the word was, like, okay, this trade had happened, and, you know, who's going to be backing up? And I'm like, I don't have my gear. So, and we had just started working together with Harbor Center, the Academy of Hockey. So when I got the text message going that, hey, Ryan Vince is going to be backing up, that was, I mean, I was so excited to be there. But, like, the locker room experience, what was that like, being in the locker room? You know, and at that moment, too, as Duffer said, like, Ryan Miller got traded away, and then you're in there kind of seeing it firsthand what's going on in the locker room.
Yeah, the locker room was awesome. The, you know, right from the start, George and Willie took great care of me. They kind of guided me through the process. They knew that my mind was blown at the time, and I wasn't going to know what to do. You know, normally I would know how to walk in the locker room and put equipment on, but they walked me through step by step. Hey, you're going to go here. You're going to set your stuff here. We're going to grab you this, you know. So they took great care of me. The players were awesome. They came up, shook my hand, introduced themselves. They were the one, the equipment guys are the ones that introduced me, you know, to the players I didn't know.
Wow.
And then, you know, the staff obviously I'd known from working here. So they were all huge smile on their face. They were coming up, shaking my hand, patting me on the back. And the whole time I'm thinking, like,
the telltale
I can't believe.
Of his nerves would have been putting the pad on the wrong leg.
Yeah.
Right? Marty's
a lot of people would have made that mistake, and an old goalie wouldn't have made that
correct
mistake. But I remember, like, you watching you on the bench, right? The towel, like, everything, like the look. You have to have the look when you're sitting on an NHL bench. And you did have the look. You had the hat on, which I always love for the backup goalie. Put the hat on, get ready. So you looked the part. So
who's your favorite teammate from that era with the Sabres?
I mean, it has to be Cody McCormick now, because we ended up kind of coaching together, and I still see him all the time at the rink, and he still makes fun of me all the time, so it's great.
Oh, my goodness, yes. So, okay.
Matt Ellis, too, I got to say.
Matt Ellis,
because he's a great dude.
But, I mean, Cody is way more outgoing and will, like, just give you a bear hug every time he sees you. But you had played. It's not like, oh, you know what? I have goalie gear and I play beer league. Like, you had played, you had practiced. You even practiced with the Sabres a few years later, right? So it wasn't like you were in a foreign situation there just putting your gear on and maybe having to jump in, where emergency backup usually just sit in a stand.
Yeah, well, I'm not some bum off the street. I know a lot of people are like, oh, you just picked up some random Joe off the side of the street. But no, I've played hockey my whole life, and I played with your son. We were just talking about that. Played with him the other day, and I think
in the 11-day power play.
Yeah, the first period, I think it was 6-6. So I mean, if I'm on Braun level,
you played college.
Yeah, I played half a year at Clarkson. Still a lot of good players that were taking slap shots at me. Yeah. That some of them played in the NHL. So
does Yarmo know this? He's a Clarkson.
No,
guy.
He doesn't, actually.
Okay. Can you work that avenue again?
I know,
you applied to be a full-time e-bug for this team?
I'm going to have to talk to him. Hey, Golden Knight alum here. So
absolutely.
We need to talk. Yeah.
Now, do the one-day pro contract prevent you from being an emergency backup? Like, because there is some new stipulation in moving forward with the e-bug.
Well, we have plenty of contacts with the NHL with all the events we do at Harbor Center. So I still get called E-Bug all the time. That's like my nickname from some of them. So I'm sure they could work.
But you haven't pursued this new opportunity within the NHL to have, like, full-time E-Bug status?
I need to talk to Mark upstairs about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
In all honesty, though, like, when we're, like, this is now 12-plus years later. It was fantastic seeing that Beyond Blue and Gold interview clip as we came into this segment, and I think the adrenaline for you would probably have still been very much running at that point in time when you did that interview, because it was still a whirlwind and very recent. Now that we're 12 plus and life goes on and family grows, and do you remember other things more vividly now that you may have overlooked in, you know, all the questions you were fielding back then?
I do remember, you know, the days after being just a total whirlwind and getting phone calls from our PR team saying, hey, you know, this is still going on. We need you for an interview for this or that. But it's one of those things, I guess I have a strange memory, but I can remember every single detail. I mean, even seeing the video, I remember exactly what I was wearing that day. I couldn't tell you what I ate 2 days ago, but I remember all those details. I remember what people said to me. I remember what people were texting me. And I mean, it's just one of those things, I guess, just totally etched into my head that I won't forget. And it's fun to talk about, right? There's so many new people I've met over the years that are like, you look familiar. I have kids that come to tournaments at our rink that are like, you're the YouTube goalie, that they've seen that clip, right? So it's a great icebreaker. It's easy to talk about, and anytime anybody wants to bring it up, you know.
Now, because you know goaltending and you played, and you know, you've been involved with youth hockey and pro hockey for a long time now, so that carried on, and you were talking about Cody McCormick. I carried on, like, you were the goalie coach for the Buffalo Buttes for a season. Like, what was that experience like, knowing and seeing what the PWHL is doing right now and, you know, what Harbor Center's been able to do? We had the Under-18 World Championship, the women's Under-18, the 1 year. Like, there's been such a development, but your experience with the Buttes and coaching with the women's side.
That was a ton of fun. I didn't really know what to expect. That was one of those things similar, I guess, to the Sabres experience, kind of just got thrown into. I was, hey, I'll do the video for it, because I was the video guy at Clarkson. That was how I kind of got my way in, and that was what I ended up doing here when I started. So I said, hey, I'll do video, and then it was like, well, you need to be on the bench to help out. So, okay, I'll do that. Well, then, you know, with coaching changes and everything, it's suddenly, hey, you're the assistant coach and goalie coach, and Cody's brand new, so you need to teach him the ropes. So, I mean, we got... You know him very well. We got along great.
Yes.
But coaching, I mean, I got to coach Shannon and Nicole,
who
were, you know, two of the best goalies in the world.
Yep.
Shannon, obviously, gold medal winner.
With Nicole, Team Canada, and Nicole Hensley with the
with
U.S.
Yeah, so, I mean, great. It was so much fun. Like, totally different experience but I just, you know, kind of went with it. And that was honestly one of my favorite years here. I didn't, again, didn't know what to expect going into it. Wasn't really planning on it, but it was a ton of fun.
Was that? What year was that? 19?
That was 18, 19.
18, 19. Yeah. Holy cow, that went quick. Ryan Vince is with us, Sabre from 2014.
So, like, Maddie Elio's on the team, right? Mm-hmm. Like, well, Coletta. Was Emily Falzer on the team as well?
Yep.
So, Emily Matheson now. Like, I mean, there was some high-end players.
Yeah.
And that team was good.
Like, yeah, we had a pretty stacked team.
I remember I believe that was that year.
Scamura was on
our team. Oh, yeah, that's right. Ellie Scamura was on the team. Didn't you guys play a game at Quebec Center?
Yes.
Like an afternoon of a Sabres game against Minnesota, I believe it was.
Who ended up beating us in the final.
They did that year. Yeah.
That was a great game, because we obviously were set up for pregame, and I remember just being in the arena that afternoon, and the intensity, it was so, so good. And it's actually perfect that the game has grown to where it's grown now. You couldn't be sure that it was going to happen, but if you were watching on that particular day, you're like, okay, this needs to keep getting to the next level.
Awesome. For sure, because I mean, at that time it was still kind of a startup league, right?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it's morphed into something different.
Incredible.
Which is obviously much better, because there's more teams, you know, more money into it. Mm-hmm. But even just the way that started, that's why I was kind of having so much fun with it. Again, didn't know what I was getting myself into, but, you know, we talk about the skill level of those players, and I still see some of them from time to time, which is, I saw Blake Bolden the other day, for the draft when we had the prospects skate. So it's cool to see the girls, all these years after, too.
Yeah,
you know,
she does a lot of coverage through the NHL and whatnot, and some featured on the ice. That's great. If she asked, though, for a goalie, like she says, I need a goalie to take shots, and is the gear always at arm's length, ready to grab out of the car or the closet? Because of that day you stepped in, you had your gear. Is it always available?
I learned my lesson. It was in the closet at the time in our old offices. You remember those offices? Not very big. Now, you know, Harbor Center is a little bit bigger, so I'm able to keep it at arm's length everything's laid out, ready to go. So if somebody calls, I can just pop it on quick.
Funny you mention it that way. Yeah. Here's a clip from when you returned to the Sabres for practice a few seasons later.
Enjoyed it. Luckily, the body feels fine. Well, probably won't tomorrow, but I did take a nice shot from Eichel off the wrist. That's going to hurt. It's going to hurt a little bit. I was trying to clear pucks out so that I wouldn't step on one, and he took a shot right when I was doing that, so I had my arm out, and yeah.
So just so people know, you were mentioning about like taking a shot inside the wrist from Eichel because you were taking... That is the worst thing a player can do. Like, if you're a goaltender and you're taking pucks out of the net or whatever, some of them always shoot pucks and hits you in the back of the leg, in the back of the arm, the back of the wrist or whatnot. So you took one from Eichel. Was the wrist okay, or did you have to ice it after?
Oh, I had to ice it for it. There was a pretty big bruise. It was one of those purple that turns to yellow and just keeps expanding, mm-hmm. like whole forearm.
And it bleeds down your arm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, whole forearm. Yeah, for like 3 weeks it was there.
Oh no!
But you know, good story to tell at least. Yeah. When I had it. So.
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You and Jack okay though?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. He was always super friendly to me. Always. I mean, all the guys were.
But this
a ton
is
of fun.
So I love the fact that you know you still feel and see everything that you experience so vividly. The other part of that is you're a local guy. It was a really emotionally draining night for people here in Buffalo. Were they excited to see the team go out and win in the face of trading a franchise icon and the adversity that comes? Yeah. But I, as you would imagine, like more people were wondering like, wow, like Ryan Miller has, not to mention Steve Ott, but Ryan Miller has moved on. Like, what were you thinking about that aspect of seeing Ryan go?
Yeah, I mean, I had been here at the organization with him for a while. I remember doing skates with him and stuff. Not that I was that great shooting, because I'm a goalie, as you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that was he was also awesome to me. He was the first person that came in after the game, shook my hand, and said, you know, congrats on your first game to me.
Like, wow.
So one of those things that sticks with you, right? I mean, obviously you guys know him well. He's a character guy. But yeah, I one other funny thing. I remember in the 300s where people put the signs up top there, mm-hmm. and there was a thank you, Ryan. And I joked with Willie, like, hey, I think that's for me.
Yes.
I love that.
But you know what? Things that we
that's
learn,
amazing.
Like other than the sign being for you, not Ryan Miller, but yeah. Ryan Vince, it's perfect. I would have thought that Millsy had been packing his bag and caught a flight that night or whatnot.
Yeah.
But no, he was there at the game and made sure he stopped by to,
yeah.
to congratulate you on having that opportunity to be in an NHL roster, room, game, sit on the bench and everything. I didn't know that. I didn't know Millsy was still around for that.
You know,
that's
you know
cool.
what else about Millsy? You know what his last game was 2 days prior to that? Number one star against Carolina in a victory. Like, I almost think that's perfect, you know? Like, mm-hmm. it was always... It never materialized in, you know, the greatest moment as far as a Stanley Cup, but there were moments where Ryan just, you know, shined brighter, and,
oh, yeah.
and it ends up being fitting that that's kind of how it ended for him here. So, speaking of top-notch goalies, Connor Hellebuck? Like, are you...
What's your scouting report
on Connor Hellebuck?
You know everybody's passwords. You're like the technology buff. You could hack into some serious information if we needed it right now.
Yeah, I better keep my mouth shut. I got two Canadians here with me, too, so I won't bring anything up about this season. But
yeah, okay.
That's
gold medal,
no,
like,
love him.
Supporter
I mean,
right now.
How can you not love him?
Yeah.
The guy's incredible.
Well, okay, so we've talked a lot about Hellebuck and all of that, but, you know, Hellebuck is a Vezina Trophy winner, Hart winner as the MVP, but you are part of a club, a special club of emergency backup that have put on the jersey. A lot of them don't ever go to the bench. Like, when there's an injury, they stay in the locker room, whatnot. You got to experience that. What did you make of David Ayers when he came into Toronto as the Zamboni driver, the practice goalie for the Leafs, and dressed for Carolina and beat the Toronto Maple Leafs in Toronto? What did you think about that opportunity for somebody like him?
I mean, obviously very happy for him, since it's like an exclusive club of,
yes.
You know, E-Bugs. I was a bit jealous because I was like, hey, I wanted to play too, you know?
I wanted to stop Joe Thornton.
But yeah, no, that was pretty awesome to see. And especially, there's an account on X that's something about, you know, however many days since we were beaten by a E-Bug Zamboni driver or something, which I laugh at every single time I see that.
Yeah, that person that does that keeps it up, like, on the daily, so it's pretty good. Now, would there ever be a get-together of all the E-Bugs, right? There was the accountant in Chicago that got to play a little bit. You know, there has been opportunities for some to play or just sit on the bench. So do you think, like, we should, because of Harbor Center and Buffalo and centralize and maybe, like, have a get-together with all these E-Bugs?
We should. We have all these NHL events. We should have an E-Bug gathering. You know, where we can all tell our stories. Yeah.
That would be like, I would want an autograph. Like, I would stand in line to get like an E-Bug picture with everybody signing it. Mm-hmm. That would be
You're going to be one of those autograph people that has the folder right outside.
I would definitely be a seeker.
I've had a couple of those.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Who was your favorite goalie as a kid?
Andy Moog.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's why my mask has the bear. I just changed
the
colors.
Well, that's a nice tribute to Sabres history because that's who Brad May scored on.
Yeah.
For May Day.
I remember the days in the odd. My parents would take me to, you know, a couple games. They had seasons. And the only games they'd ever take me to were Boston. And I remember the chance of Andy.
I was part of it one night. They roasted him 8-1 back in like 91.
Led the way.
Trust me, I might have been one of the more vocal from that exact 300 level. And it was great because I can't remember the order, but they either Andy started and got pulled, and then Reggie came in, Reggie Lemelin.
Yeah.
But either way, half the game it was Andy, half the game it was Reggie.
Yeah, yeah. Nice and easy.
Yeah, it was a very easy night for the Sabre faithful. Yeah.
Andy Moog didn't fare any better when he played for the Canadiens in 98, and they they just, you got goals.
When are you next on the ice, putting on the gear?
Whenever my kid asks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
I've been skating with him. That was how I got back into. I hadn't skated for a little while, and he wanted to shoot on me, so we started doing that. And then,
how old is he?
He's 8 now.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
How are you handling those shots?
Pretty good. Pretty
okay, good.
Yeah.
When they get to about 12, that's when you're like, oh, I can't do this anymore. 12 is the cutoff, I think.
You know, your son was saying that last time you put on the equipment, you were complaining for days about how much pain you were in.
Last year on this show, we got a good taste of how sore he was.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Like, I couldn't walk. Yeah. Vinzy, I seriously got out of the car, and I stumbled out of the car. My legs gave out.
Yeah.
Ryan, we got to fly. Thank you for coming in.
Keep up the great work over at Harbor Center.
Yeah. And thank you for the trip down memory lane. Ryan Vince, Sabre alum. We're back after this.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
I mean, we're all one big group when it's 19,070 inside of KeyBank Center, but we really want to have you be a part of groups of 10 or more and take advantage of the savings that come from it. You can save on box office pricing and, of course, get exclusive access to experiences like being on center ice for a photo op after the game, Sabres, slap shots and access and more. It's all part of our groups campaign, sabres.com/groups to learn more. And as time goes on, Marty, I become more and more validated in my belief that Macklin Celebrini was the MVP last year, and it has been announced that he will be the NHL 27 cover athlete, announced officially and revealed later this week. He will be the youngest in NHL history to have this honor.
Yeah, that's great for the league. That's great for the young generation. I think that's what they want, is an image that they can relate to. Say, oh, you know, he was just playing junior a short time ago, and now, boom, like, he's right there.
Quick World Cup update.
World Cup update. Today is France playing Spain, and then tomorrow is going to be England and Argentina. The Golden Boot update. Mbappe's got 8 goals. Messi's got 8. Haaland is out at 7. Harry Kane and Jude Bellingham both have 6 for England.
Perfectly fitting that birthday greetings go to one and one only on this day, because we love 33-year-old John Gibson.
My best friend, John Gibson. And yes, I never make any mistakes.
Older or younger, did you think?
Younger. I thought he was older. I thought he was older. We all make mistakes, so giving up goals sometimes happens. Oh, by the way.
You made a mistake?
The MLB All-Star Game is on Fox tonight, so you'll be able to watch it on your cable.
But it still was on Netflix last night? You're sure of that?
Yes, it was. I'm sure of that. Yes, okay. Thank you.
Accuracy is important. See you tomorrow.